ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is the NT Country Hour on ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory.
G'day there, my name's Matt Brown. Welcome to the Country Hour, a shorter program today because of the cricket. At lunchtime, Bangladesh are 2 for 181. They trail Australia by just 17 runs and they are in control there at Morara. I'll be taking you back to ABC Sports coverage of the test at about 12:30 this afternoon. In the meantime, I hope you can stick around. We'll be crossing to Borroloola in just a moment. The town is gearing up for a big weekend of rodeo and camp drafting action. Also, this afternoon, you'll be hearing from the Federal Water Minister, Murray Watt. Now, he's hanging out with all of his state and territory counterparts this afternoon, and he wants all of the water ministers to agree to a national standard for AI data centres. But he admits Queensland and the Northern Territory might not be keen.
I think that's a really short-sighted decision if they do that with water as well, because I think that would come at the expense of Queenslanders and Northern Territorians.
Murray Watt on the program in a moment, and I'll be speaking to the local Weather Bureau a bit before 12:30. As always, if you've got a question for the bomb, send it through on the text line, which is 0487 99 1057. Let's head out into the Gulf Country this afternoon where the 59th Borroloola Bushmen's Carnival is taking place. There's plenty of camp draft action on today. The rodeo is still to come. Amanda Murphy is out at the grounds. How's it all looking out there today, Amanda?
Looking beautiful, Matt. The weather is lovely. We've got a bit of a breeze today. Had a bit of a breeze yesterday, so good weather for camp drafting. And I believe it could be getting a little bit cooler again tomorrow. So we'll finish off camp drafting tomorrow, and then we'll be rolling into Gymkhana and rodeo tomorrow afternoon. So, yeah, it's been a great few days so far.
Your young person was just competing a moment ago. Yes. How did they fare?
Charlie Murphy, he cooked his first peg.
Ah.
I know. No, he went all right. We're just currently watching the juvenile camp draft. We've had the juniors. We're watching the juveniles at the moment, and we'll cross over to the mini draft shortly. And then following that will be the encouragement. So we've already had the Maiden A and Maiden B run and won. And, yeah, we've still had the open this morning, and we'll follow with the open. Yeah, had the open final tomorrow. So, yeah, it's been a good couple of days.
In the open, is it fair to say Wayne Bean is the man to beat? He seems to be winning everything at the moment.
I know. So Wayne Bean did take out both the over six and over and the five and under challenges. I don't think he actually has any maiden horses left. So he didn't feature in the maiden. He's definitely up there in the open finals, 87 and up to get into the open. So really brilliant drafting here.
Wow.
This morning. So, yeah. And the cattle from Malapanya Springs, the Darcy family, have supplied some of them, as well as MacArthur River Station and Tannenbrini. And, yeah, they've all been running really well. Beautiful cattle to chase.
This carnival, very famous for its rodeo as well. If anyone comes along to Borroloola this weekend, tell them what they'll see and experience.
Oh, Matt, like Borroloola is actually one of a kind of a rodeo. We've still got a bit of bulldogging. We do a bit of ladies steer on decorating. Obviously, like, they're common rodeo events, but Borroloola is something else, I have to say. It really does. Everyone gets to have a go. It's so entertaining. It's a great afternoon of rodeo on Saturday, and then we rodeo all day Sunday as well. So we look forward to it.
Yeah, it's famous. And it comes straight off the back of the Mount Isa rodeo as well. So do you get anyone, that has competed in Mount Isa make the trip across to to the loo?
No, we don't really. Because we're a different affiliation. So, right. So we don't generally get anyone coming across. It's more local competitors and Northern Territory people generally. So, yeah, but that's fine. We're happy with that. We have plenty of nominations. I think we've got 60-something in the bullock ride, and there's at least 25 bull riders. So, yeah, it's a good chance everyone to have a go.
And from what I can tell, Amanda, across all of the days, it seems like there's a lot of young people getting involved in this carnival.
Yep, there is. So, you know, when people that live and work on stations, you sort of work towards these events, you know. These events are calculated into your work program, so they get the wieners out of the yard so they can come along to Borroloola for the, well, it's a 5-day event. So, you know, it's a bit of time off, and I'm pretty sure it is the only camp draft and rodeo in Australia that you'll see horse trucks and fishing boats. I'm fairly certain there is no one else in Australia that can claim that.
The good folks at King Ash Bay are doing a roaring trade as well, hey?
Yeah, they're busy. They're busy. Well, the waterways are busy anyway. There's there's boats driving out of here early every morning, coming back in the afternoon. For those that don't take up camp drafting as a hobby, so yeah, it's good. It's really great.
That's all the ingredients for one of the all time weekends of your life,
isn't it?
Catch a meter barra, win the open draft. That's living.
Win a draft.
Yeah.
Buck a bull. Buck a bronc. What else would you like?
Well, there you go, folks. If you're anywhere near the Gulf Country this weekend, head along to Borroloola for the 59th Borroloola Bushman's Carnival. Amanda Murphy, thank you for being our correspondent out there today.
No worries, Matt. Talk soon.
G'day, my name's Brody Woody, and from Oklahoma, but I'm down under right now, and you're listening to the Country Hour.
It is 12 past 12. The Country Hour broadcasting during the lunch break of the cricket. Are we taking you back to ABC Sports coverage of the first test at about 12:30? Big thanks to Amanda Murphy. Always wonderful to have her on the program. And I forgot to ask her if people are wearing flannelette shirts out at Borroloola this afternoon. I'm here in Darwin. I'm wearing my flanno, which, let's be fair, I love a good flanno, but Darwin's really not the weather for wearing flannelette. It's not the weather at all, but I've got my old blue flanno on today because it's Flanno for a Farmer Day, which is all about raising money for the charity organisation called Farm Angels. Established in 2014, this charity has been providing financial assistance, food hampers, care packs, and mental well-being support to primary producers right around Australia. Natasha Johnston is the founder of Farm Angels and says the charity prides itself on helping farmers long after a natural disaster strikes.
We don't just help our farmers with a once-off here at Farm Angels. We like to support our farmers. We call it a farmer journey. So we'll support them from once they apply with us through to a 3-month check-in, a 6-month check-in, and a 12-month check-in. We'll come in when, I guess, everybody else has gone away. We want them to be reminded that, you know, we haven't forgotten them, and that the disaster might have moved out of the media or moved out of people's minds, but it hasn't moved out of our minds. The people who put the food on our table should never, ever have to struggle to put the food on their own tables. So we support farmers right across Australia. It doesn't matter what state, whether it's Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia, the Northern Territory, Tasmania. We're there to support our farmers. And we don't just support one type of farm. We support all sorts of farmers. It might be grape growers. It could be cattle. It could be sheep. It could be cropping. Oyster farmers. It doesn't matter what you do or grow. We're here to support all primary producers across the entire country.
That's Natasha Johnston. If you'd like to learn more, search for Farm Angels or Flanno for a Farmer.
Florals for spring? Never out of fashion. Organic Gardener magazine has your garden bursting with colour, abuzz with good bugs, and brimming with wicking beds and bunches of bananas. At newsagents and abcmagazines.com.au.
Federal, state and territory water ministers are gathering today to talk about proposed new national standards for data centres. Federal Water Minister Murray Watt says his government wants to make sure data centres are as water efficient as possible and don't become large drainers of public water. And he hopes all of the water ministers will agree to the plan that's on the table this afternoon. The Queensland and Northern Territory governments have already rejected a national plan to force data centres to use renewable energy. Will there be a stoush over water regulation as well? Lexi Junawick spoke to Minister Watt earlier on.
The amount of water that data centres use really depends on the technology they use. But what we do know is that large data centres do use water to cool servers and chips and also to release heat from the building where they're stored. So all data centres use some form of water. We don't have any overall figures because it obviously depends on the type of data centres that arrive and it also depends where they're located. But we certainly know that if we don't put in place some standards early in the development of this industry, we do run the risk that data centres become a large user and drainer of our water, and that's what we want to avoid. Obviously, this builds on the work of the energy ministers taking similar decisions to ensure that data centres don't drive up power prices or gobble up too much energy from other users. And we want to do the same thing when it comes to water to make sure that households, industries, communities don't end up finding themselves short of water or having to pay too much for water because of the entry of this industry.
Can you run me through these proposed minimum standards for the large or the new kind of wave of data centres?
Yeah, so what we're seeking at the meeting of the water ministers today is the agreement of all state and territory governments to minimum standards regarding data centres. And that would include, for example, a requirement that data centres minimise their water use, that they prioritise water efficient technologies, non-drinking water and recycled water. We also want to make sure that data centre proponents are paying their fair share for water infrastructure so that we don't see the costs of any new water infrastructure that's required passed on to households and industries. So really this is about trying to get in at a fairly early stage of the development of this industry. We recognise that data centres and AI can produce a lot of benefits for Australia, but we also want to make sure that we can seize those benefits and avoid the risks, including the risk of too much water being taken off other users.
Just to clarify, is it your plan to make these standards, I should say, mandatory for data centres?
Yes, we are. So you might recall that recently the Prime Minister spoke about the need for binding legislated national standards regarding data centres, and we would see these requirements about water being mandatory and included in those legislated standards. Really, one of the motivations here is to make sure that we do have a harmonised system across the country when it comes to water use. We don't want to see a race to the bottom where we see some states allow data centres to be built that gobble up too much water, that do drive up water prices. We want to make sure that it's a level playing field right across the country and that the Australian community as a whole benefits from these new developments.
Now, we saw some pushback recently from the Northern Territory and Queensland Energy Ministers during that particular meeting on the proposed national plan for energy use and data centres. Are you concerned that there won't be agreement?
Look, I've been just speaking about this to each of the individual ministers, and I think it's reasonable to expect that Queensland and Northern Territory may take a similar approach to the approach they took regarding energy, where they didn't sign up to these standards. I think that's a really short-sighted decision if they do that with water as well, because I think that would come at the expense of Queenslanders and Northern Territorians, particularly for those two states, which we know have big and important agriculture industries. I'm pretty confident in saying that farmers would like to see minimum standards when it comes to water usage so that they're not competing against data centres in an unfair way. So I remain hopeful that we can convince the Queensland and Northern Territory governments that this is very much in the interests of their citizens as well, if we can come to that harmonised approach so that everyone is playing on the same level playing field.
Have you had conversations with the Northern Territory and Queensland which make you think that they might not be on board, or are you just going off the precedent of the energy ministers meeting?
It's a bit of both. So we did see both Queensland and the Northern Territory refused to sign up for similar standards regarding energy. But also the conversations that I've been having with ministers in the lead up to this meeting make me think that it's possible we won't get agreement from those two jurisdictions. But we've been very clear that we think this is in Australia's national interest, in the interests of each state and territory, and we do intend to legislate these standards. But of course, we want to do that as cooperatively as we possibly can.
I know your colleague, Chris Bowen, the Energy Minister, said that, you know, if the states and territories aren't willing to come on board, he's more than willing to use federal powers to get them on the same page. Would you have the same message for them?
Yeah, well, our preference certainly is to work cooperatively with each state and territory, because we genuinely think that this is not only in the national interest, but also in the interests of each state and territory's residents. We don't need to have a situation where states are competing against each other by selling out residents and communities and industries in their own state jurisdictions. That's why we want to have these consistent rules. We have made clear that we do intend to legislate these national standards, but of course we'd prefer to do that in cooperation with each jurisdiction.
That's the Federal Water and Environment Minister Murray Watt. In a statement from the Northern Territory's Water Minister, Joshua Burgoyne, he says there is water available to support development across the Northern Territory, including data centres. He says our approach is to responsibly manage this valuable resource while supporting sustainable development and delivering opportunities for Territorians. So all of the water ministers are meeting right now. Will they all agree to this national plan regarding water and data centres? We'll find out soon.
G'day, Rob Hall here from Airway Logistics at the Darwin Export Hub. We support industry here to export rock melons, watermelons, pumpkins and mango to the world straight out of Darwin. And you're listening to The Country Hour.
By the end of September next year, the commercial barramundi sector of the NT will be banned from using gill nets. The NT Seafood Council says the general public are only just starting to realise what's happening to this fishery, and that wild-caught barra and threadfin salmon are set to disappear from a lot of menus.
I think the penny is starting to drop with the public that, wow, there's actually going to be no wild-caught barramundi and threadfin on the menu after September next year. And it's something that the government really need to address as a matter of urgency, I would suggest.
The NT government yesterday announced that it had formed a Barramundi Fishery Adjustment Committee made up of independent experts who will oversee compensation and the buyout of commercial barramundi licences. The Fisheries Minister, Gerard Maley, says his government is also committed to helping industry find alternative ways of fishing for barra and threadfin salmon.
Right now we're focusing on getting a fair price in relation to honouring our commitment, and we know the commitment is to phase out commercial gill netting in this term of government, and we're 2 years in, so we've got 2 years to do that. So we're working on that now, but we are also working with another committee to work out what can we do to have a wild caught barramundi onto the table and some threadfin, what other methods are available, what's viable, what's not viable. But right now, we're 2 years in, we're focusing on getting a fair and just outcome in relation to the buyback of the barramundi, and then we're going to continue to work on what does the future of the barramundi fishing industry look like here in the Northern Territory without commercial gill nets.
Why can't you work that out right now?
Well, because it's a big thing, and we're working with people from Queensland because they've gone through this and before what they're using over there. The Queensland did a trial of what different types of fishing. So we're doing two things together here, Matt. We're not only working on what this fair outcome would be through the Barramundi Fishery Adjustment Committee, but we've also got the advisory group working out what can we do to keep some barramundi, wild caught barramundi, on the table in throughout the Northern Territory.
Come Christmas next year, do you think there'll be wild caught threadfin salmon available for sale?
Yeah. That'll be for the market to determine. We are working with the groups and with various organisations to make that happen. But, you know, we as a government certainly aren't going to be out catching that wild caught barra. But we want to work with these operators to be able to help them transition from using gill nets into other types of fishing to be able to put those fish onto the table of the Northern Territory.
That is the NT's Fisheries Minister, Gerard Maley. And if you missed the full interview with him yesterday, you can catch it via the NT Country Hour podcast.
Landline explores the National Soil Archive, where the oldest sample just turned 100.
Yeah, we did celebrate. Yeah.
Did you?
We had a little team party.
Landline, Sunday, 12:30 on ABC TV and iView.
And the Marker Report, Pip. How good is the Marker Report on Landline? This week I've been really getting into goats. There was a big sale at Dubbo during the week. And old billy goats, right? Old billy goats from out the back of Bourke, they were getting up to $220 a pop. The stinky old billy goats. $220 for them. Boar Weathers, they topped the sale getting $385 each. This is big money for goats. On Landline this Sunday, I'll have a chat to the local livestock agent there in town, Joe Patelli, to tell us all why goats are just going gangbusters in 2026. Let's go to the Weather Bureau now. We've got Hannah Whiteside there this afternoon. How are you, Hannah?
I'm good, thanks, Matt.
What's going on weather-wise today in the Territory?
Today we have, there's a little bit of cloud cover over Central District at the moment. Again, it was quite windy this morning through the Barkly. That started to ease off a little bit now. So pretty clear, sunny conditions about the top end with a little bit of dry air pushing into inland parts of the top end. And then down south, we've got the cloud band that's started drifting across the Lassiter District today. And some showers just starting to creep over from the WA border as we speak.
Anything official in the rain gauges yet?
Nothing official in the rain gauges yet. So we're expecting the showers to move further eastwards during today. Probably the bulk of the rainfall from that cloud band will be tomorrow, particularly around the western parts of the Lassiter District, anywhere up to around 10 millimetres expected.
Ooh. Yeah, rightio.
Yeah. Could be even some isolated higher falls of up to 15 millimetres or so, and the potential for a thunderstorm as well tomorrow in the Lassiter.
And reasonably widespread, Hannah?
Reasonably widespread across the Lassiter and southern Tanami districts. So it'll also, showers will also start to move eastwards over the Simpson district during tomorrow as well. So those showers will likely be a little bit more scattered as they move eastwards. So a few, a little bit less in the gauges expected around the Simpson district, maybe up to around 5 millimetres or so.
Okay, and is it okay to get a forecast for Borroloola and the Gulf region in general because the Bushman's Carnival's on over the next few days?
Totally. So Borroloola is looking like much of the northern parts of the NT over the coming days. We've got sunny skies with that ridge continuing to push southeasterly winds through. So sunny top of 34 degrees today and tomorrow, and then Sunday will be 33 degrees, and the overnight temperatures will be pretty comfortable in those mid-teens, 13, 14 degrees overnight. So it's looking like pretty nice conditions over in Borroloola.
That does sound nice. And I've just seen in the Darwin Daily District, Mount Stowe picked up 2 millimetres in the last 24 hours. There was 0.6 in the gauge at Eda Falls Ridge. What happened there?
We're kind of looking at those numbers. There was a little bit of speckledy cloud around, drifting over yesterday, sort of mid-morning to early afternoon. So potentially could have been some small numbers in the gauges there, but it is a little bit hard to tell. It
caught a few people by surprise, potentially. All righty then. Have a lovely afternoon, Hannah. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Matt.
Hannah Whiteside there at the Weather Bureau this afternoon. And that wraps up a short Country Hour today. You're about to head to the ABC newsroom and then back to ABC Sports coverage of the first test against Bangladesh. At lunch, Bangladesh are 2 for 181. They trail Australia by just 17 runs. They are on top there at Merara. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. and keep it rural.